Also, we allowing our freedom in the spirit is not to use that as a base of operation to go live out our flesh. And we learned about that too, that we're not to use the freedom we have in Christ to live in the self-gratification of our flesh. And so this brings us to the two points that we'll be talking about today regarding you will reap what you sow. And the two points are this. What kind of seed are you sowing? What kind of seed are you sowing is the first, and the harvest you will reap. It's a guarantee. The harvest you will reap. So verse 8 here, it says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So what kind of seed are you sowing, the flesh or the Spirit? And so to give you a picture here, I don't know if you guys remember, one of the experiments that I know our kids did is you have a little bean plant, right? You take it home, you plant it, and you see how fast that thing grows. So think of, you have two bean plants, one is flesh and one is spirit. And as you think of that, the way I live my life, what am I in a sense planting to? What the things that I do and think, what are they representative of? And that's what we're talking about here. So the sowing of the seeds here represents our walk in life, our actions, our daily choices and our conduct, our thoughts. So what kind of seed are you sowing? What do the seeds of the flesh look like? It's self-promotion and self-gratification, as we've seen in the book of Galatians already. And then clearly we have seen the description of the deeds of the flesh in Galatians 5:19 through 21. Immorality, impurity, these different ones listed out there. But what do the seeds of the flesh look like in our lives? What do the seeds of the flesh look like in our lives? And just some questions to consider this morning. Is my walk in life, my actions, my daily choices, and my thoughts based on seeking my own glory to satisfy my own self-gratification, my own selfish desires? Am I seeking to elevate myself above others? Am I seeking to make a name for myself and find my significance and value in what I have or what I do, what I've accomplished? Do I find myself constantly giving into my desires, my anger, my appetites, my lust, and my cravings? If you find these things to be true in your life, as I've asked you these questions, as you think about them, you are very likely sowing to your flesh. And I think we probably all know what we mean when I say we're sowing to our flesh. Or am I sowing the seed of the Spirit of God in me? The provision and power He has given us to live a righteous life. So what do the seeds of the Spirit look like? And again, some questions here. Are my actions, daily choices, conduct, and thoughts aligned with the Spirit of God and the Word of God? Am I acutely aware and conscious of His presence in my life as I make choices and decisions throughout my day? Do I by faith anticipate His prompting and leading in what I'm doing? As He reveals sin in my life throughout my day, do I agree with Him that it is sin through confession to Him, or do I ignore it and do what I want? Do I recognize my need for the Spirit in my conduct and decisions? Do I present my options and choices before Him through prayer? Am I taking my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, or letting my mind go wherever it wants? If these kinds of things are true in you, then of recognizing the reality of the Spirit of God in you and consciously making your decisions in that way, then I would say you're sowing to the Spirit. I need to, by faith, have confidence and anticipate the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and others believers showing me and continuing to revealed to me how to live in the Spirit as well, how to sow to the Spirit. We are all well aware, as we've talked about in Galatians 5:17, that the flesh desire, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition with one another, that you may not do the things that you please. And so we know, we've studied even these questions, we've already talked to you somewhat, that there's a very real battle out there. Now we come to the harvest. You will reap. The harvest you will reap, the second point here. The harvest you will reap is, of course, dependent on the seed you have sown. The flesh or the Spirit, you will reap the consequences, good or bad, fleshly or spiritual. That's just the way it is. And that's what he's saying. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. So let's look again at verse 8 as we look at the harvest you will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. That's a harvest reaped by the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So based on verse 8, we have two harvests here. The first harvest, you will reap what you have sowed to your flesh, which is corruption. The second, you will reap what you have sowed to your Spirit, which is eternal life. So regarding the harvest of the flesh, the word corruption means decomposition, deterioration, rot, or decay. That's what the word corruption there means. There are two aspects of this harvest I want us to consider. Our current reality, like currently what does this produce if I give into my flesh, and also the future reality, our future in heaven, standing before God someday. What does a harvest of corruption look like if I'm sowing to the flesh in my life, if you're sowing to the flesh? So in our current reality, decomposing, rotting, decaying fruit is a great picture. I think of like a pumpkin. So we all like to do pumpkin carving in October, right? So what happens when you just leave that pumpkin detached from the vine, carved up, whatever, on your front porch eventually? If you leave it there for a month or two, it's getting real soggy, real decomposed, right? We all know that. So the fruit is rotting because it's been disconnected from the vine. This corruption is because it's been disconnected from the vine. When it was connected, it had life. It had nutrients. It had what it needed to grow. Think of what Paul has already told the Galatian believers here. Paul says in Galatians 3:3, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected by the flesh?" Asking a rhetorical question here. Is that the way it works? Also, Galatians 5:4, we talked about this verse quite a bit. "You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace." Again, the law and the flesh. According to these verses, in seeking to live by the flesh and be justified by the law, the Galatian believers had rendered Christ's power through the Spirit powerless in their lives. And that's what we talked about. As we have studied, they, by choosing the flesh, had put Christ into neutral, so to speak. They had rendered the very powerful Spirit powerless when they chose to live in the flesh instead of by faith in the Spirit. We all know John 15:5 well. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit." And why is that? Because we're connected to the source. We're connected to where we find nutrients and strength. And then it says, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." The flesh has no power to sustain life or bring life, as we've discussed. So back to our fruit illustration. The fruit, once removed from the vine, will begin to bring corruption. It will begin to rot and decay. If we as believers are sowing to the flesh, that means we have chosen to remove the very source of life from growth in our lives, from living our lives. Now we know we're justified, we're declared righteous, but this is again how we live our lives as to the Lord. How might your life, if disconnected from the life source by sowing to the flesh, bring corruption and decay? What might it look like in your marriage? How about your relationship with your kids? How about in your family, in your friends' lives, your coworkers, your church family? What might it look like? I think we all have an idea of what this might look like. And why is that? Because I have reaped the consequences of living, of sowing to the flesh in my life. I have reaped the consequences at times in my life when I have sown to the flesh. The deterioration that happens in my marriage, the deterioration and decay that happens as I interact with my kids in a relationship with them, with my friends, with my family, with my fellow believers, when I am sowing to the flesh. And how about you? Have you seen the deterioration, rot, and decay in your marriage as you sow to the flesh, if you have in your life? How about in your relationship and your family with your kids? When we give in to our flesh and sow to the flesh, our interactions, our relationships with our kids, with our family. Now, whether that is lashing out in anger, unkind words, addictions you might be dealing with, struggles, pornography, alcoholism, immorality, gossip, legalism, self-righteousness, and the list could go on. Sowing to our flesh, whether hidden or not, will always, 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 based on this verse, did I say always? Always lead to deterioration and decay and rot in our lives. And unfortunately, very likely have lasting effects on the lives of others and those around us. So why is this? Because you reap what you sow. That's why. Because you reap what you sow. If you sow the flesh, you'll reap the harvest of the flesh, and that is corruption. You will reap the harvest of the flesh, and that is corruption. There is no power or life in our flesh, only decay and rot. And what's the moral of the story here? The moral of the story is this. Let's be honest with ourselves, with God, and with others if we are currently sowing to our flesh. Let's seek out those who can help us and understand what it looks like to sow to the Spirit and instead reap a harvest from the Spirit, which is eternal life. Before we move on to sowing to the Spirit, I want to ask you this question. What does this harvest of corruption look like if we are sowing to our flesh regarding our future reality? So we talked about our current reality. What about our future reality? How might the harvest of corruption, deterioration, rot, and decay look as we stand before God and give account to Him one day? Second Corinthians 5:10, it says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed." And that word recompense there means paid back. And it's the same idea of you reap what you sow. Right? That we all are going to have to give account. And then it goes on to say so that the one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body as a believer, what we did in our body here physically on earth, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. It's basically talking about how well did you run the race that God has given you? Are you sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit? Because you will stand before God one day. I will stand before God. One day you and I will reap the harvest and be standing before our wonderful Savior looking in His eyes. And if you sow to the flesh, you will say, "I know you gave me the powerful Spirit to live my life by. But I decided to make the spirit powerless, and I sowed to my flesh instead. Now let's hope that's not the case. But there are at least two things that we will face in a harvest of the flesh in our future. The first is shame. According to 1 John 2:28, it says this, "Now little children, abide in him. Stay connected to the source of life. Stay connected to the Spirit, so that when he appears, when you stand before him, we may have confidence as we're connected to the vine." And the opposite here, "and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming." The shrinking away in shame at his coming is if you and I as believers choose to sow to our flesh in our lives. The next is that we'll suffer loss. Not loss of salvation, but loss of reward. Now we don't have time to get into it all, but in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8 and verse 15, it says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his labor. If any man's work," in verse 15, "if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." So I'm not sure exactly what it means. You'll be passing through fire or as through fire, other than our work will be tested. I know that that's what I was referring to. But it should give us a wake-up call, a bit of a reality check, that the reason why I would not want to sow to my flesh. Again, this is not talking about loss of salvation. The text here does not say eternal corruption. It just says corruption. But you will suffer loss. As you stand before God one day in your reward. So God has given us an opportunity to have a great harvest if we sow to the Spirit instead. I know there are times in my life, unfortunately, that I've sown to my flesh, and I'm going to have to face God with those. But there are other times in my life where I thankfully have sown to the Spirit, and for that I'm going to be thankful that I obeyed. Eventually, though, however, because of God's incredible kindness and grace, according to Revelation 21:4, after the great white throne judgment, it says here, "And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." So yes, the tears of shame and regret will be wiped away from our eyes. But it's a sobering reminder that you and I will one day have to stand before our Savior and give an account of the harvest that we have planted. Personally, I'd rather give an account of sowing to the Spirit. Right? Personally, I think you would too, of sowing to the Spirit. Which brings us to our next point, the harvest of the Spirit. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's pretty amazing when we think about it. The harvest of the flesh, which is corruption, rot, and decay, is the exact opposite of the harvest of the Spirit, which is restoration and life, and not just life, eternal life. A life that's sourced in the vine, a life that's sourced in the Spirit. According to 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says that we are actually getting renewed day by day, getting more and more like Christ as the seed sown from the Spirit grows in our lives. So the harvest of the Spirit is eternal. When we think about eternal life, what is this eternal life? Look with me at 1 John 5:11-12. It says this, "And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." So eternal life is in the Son, is in Christ. "He who has the Son has life." And that's you and I as believers. If we believe in Christ, we have life. "He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Unfortunately, if you have not placed your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, according to this passage, you do not have life. According to God's word, you do not have this life that we're talking about. What then is eternal life? Life in Jesus, life in God's Son, through the Spirit of God that indwells us. Romans 8, 10 and 11, it says this, if Christ is in you, which we just saw that he was, based on this verse in 1 John, if Christ is in you, though your body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. My spirit is alive because of the righteousness that was imputed or put in my account because of Christ. His righteousness was placed on us as believers. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, to our bodies here that we are right now living, through his Spirit who dwells in you. So we, through the Spirit of God, have this eternal life through the Spirit. So regarding our current reality of harvest of the Spirit here, here's an important question for us based on this passage. When does this eternal life we have through the Spirit indwelling us begin? When I die? When does this life begin? Or does it begin the moment I place my faith in Christ? The moment I place my faith in Christ, right, is when that life began, the eternal life I can experience. I have the option, I have the opportunity to sow to the Spirit now and lead to eternal life consistent with what I already have instead of sow to my flesh. In 1 John 5:13, it goes on, and here it says this, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. The confidence we have because of Christ is that we have this eternal life. In John 10:10, it says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And one thing we need to understand here is this life that we have in Christ, he gave it to us at salvation. But the Spirit of God is that part where we can continue to live our lives today in him, sowing to the Spirit. And this abundant life we need to understand is only an experience that you and I are enjoying right now or we're not. It's a present reality in our lives. Right now, this instant as I live, are you, am I, enjoying the abundant life? Do I realize that? That it's not something that I, whether I did or not an hour ago, whether I'm going to or not an hour ahead, the point of the matter is the abundant life is available to me right now. As time goes on, right now to realize this very life through the power of the Spirit is something I should enjoy right now. And to keep that in mind as we think about the importance of sowing to my flesh or sowing to the Spirit. Because if I'm sowing to my flesh, I don't think I'm enjoying that amazing abundant life sourced in the vine and the result of what Christ has done for us. So that this life in the Spirit is the eternal life, right? We enjoy as we depend on the Spirit by submitting our will to him, allowing him to guide and lead us. Now, how does this look daily? Again, we've talked about some of these already. Anticipate him. Anticipate the Spirit knowing he is present. Obey when he's leading. Pray and ask him to be a part of your life. Confess your sin when pointed out. And next week, we're going to talk specifically about the different ways the Spirit allows us to do good, to do good works, to when we plant the seed that we have to wait for the harvest. We'll be talking about that, looking at that, how we need to be patient and trust God in what we're doing now. But now let's look at the future reality of the harvest regarding the Spirit in us, this eternal life. The future glorification. There's many verses. I picked one here. 1 John 3:2, it says this, beloved, now we are children of God, And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. So we don't know fully what we will be, right? We know that when he appears, when Christ appears, we will be like him. because we will see him just as he is. And that is glorification, that we will be glorified just like our Savior. And that is eternal life, isn't it? That is much better than shame. That is much better than loss of rewards. That we will be like the very person of Jesus. Free from sin, free from the bondage we deal with, free from the things that trip us up, that we will be like him. So this morning we have been faced once again with the encouragement from God's word to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. The last chapter and a half of Galatians, we have seen five different aspects of the Spirit. We're to walk by the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. We're made alive by the Spirit. We're to keep in step with the Spirit. And here we're to sow to the Spirit. And so we all understand this battle between the flesh and the Spirit. Paul has made it crystal clear that the flesh, the law, that is not the answer. Life is in Christ. We all feel the weight of living in a sinful world and dealing with our flesh and its desires. We have seen the devastation of a life lived of the flesh. We know what it looks like. We all understand that we will have to give an account and stand before our Savior, but our hope is in him. Our hope is in him, that by his life in us, with this incredible gift of the Spirit, we can truly sow to the Spirit. And as we sow to the Spirit, we will see a harvest of eternal life. And I'm going to close in this, if Austin wants to come up here. In John 16:33, Jesus says this, "These things I have spoken to you, so that you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation." I think we all understand that, don't we? In the world, we have tribulation. But take courage. And why is that? I have overcome the world. And who is in us? He is in us. We have the opportunity, we have the privilege through the very power of God in us to be overcomers, just as Jesus was, just as he explains to us here. But again, this reminder of the significance of, am I sowing to the flesh or am I sowing to the Spirit? Because the reality is, you and I, we will reap what we sow. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just the soberness that we must understand that we are given a wonderful privilege and opportunity to live for you. And yet we live in a world that is so easily, we're so easily distracted by. Lord, it's so easy for us to give in to the lies and different things that come our way. But Lord, I just pray that if we don't understand or we don't know fully what it means to sow to the flesh, to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, that we will endeavor to learn, that we'll be eager to know and understand you and love you and grow with you in a deeper relationship, that one day, Lord, when we stand before you, Lord, we can rejoice regarding that we have sown to your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand to your feet and we'll close together.